Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich Baum in Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz in Long Island, New York.
Long Island. So how is it in Long Island, Mr. Berkowitz?
It is cold.
Cool. What's cold?
It is cold. I mean,
below zero?
No, we haven't had below zero yet, but we had in single digits for a couple of days last week. But then it warmed up a little, and you know, it's funny. Like I said, last week we had like 8 degrees and today it was 52. So I don't know what's going on in this world, but this weather is messed up.
Well, we know it's not global warming because there is no global warming. I won't go into that.
But, exactly.
It's beautiful here. We had it the most gorgeous days. It was literally like 60 today in Sacramento, and I had a shoot up in the foothills of the Sierras, and it was really, really nice. Real hard, huge 40-foot interior ceilings, all wood, redwood. And it was a challenge. I brought out the 600. I brought out the couple of 200s, a couple of 360s. I had everything, man. And I needed it. I needed it big time. But kept me honest.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had a couple of big shoots last week, as I mentioned to you, with Jordan Powers.
Oh, right.
And then we ended up interviewing him, which will be released in a couple of weeks. But yeah, it was great. We had a beautiful, beautiful penthouse on the west side overlooking the
Hudson. You had 1 hour in a penthouse. It was like a game show. You have 1 hour in a penthouse to get as much as you can.
That's what it was. And it's funny because I got like 8 shots and Jordan got like 22 or something.
Well, of course. He does a house in 4 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly. No, he's actually now down to 4 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he had to beat Scott DuBose. So,
exactly. And Jordan, we're not making fun.
yes, I am. I am.
But nevertheless, maybe Jordan, along with this release, we can post some of our images for the shoot and let people guess who did what and who shot who, which will be fun.
Awesome. And our
cool.
Facebook, I mean, our we've got that Instagram group, Instagram page. So I'm just starting to get into posting stuff on our Shooting Spaces podcast Instagram feed. So
all right. Well, I know once you get into Instagram, you're nonstop. So hopefully you can grow our Shooting Spaces Instagram.
I only had time to do 2 images today in the Instagram, and that's my lowest amount yet.
That's about where I'm averaging, but you know, you only have so many hours in the day. But I did something really interesting today, and I'm actually excited to see where that goes. And I know we're getting on some useless banter now, but nevertheless, I actually joined my local Long Island Interior Design Society chapter. I was talking to them and they told me out of all their vendors, they have no interior design photographers. And by joining their membership, it was $300 for the year. I'm now a national and local member. I can go to all their events, network with all their interior designers, and have an easy in. And I'm on their website as a vendor. So
good for you.
Hopefully some good things to come. And for some interior design photographers out there, I mean, I can't say that this will definitely help, but for the price that I paid, I don't think it can hurt. And maybe something to look into your local chapter, and unless you're on Long Island, obviously, and see about getting in there and start networking with all these interior designers.
Maybe I'll check it out. Yeah, actually, the woman I shot the house for today, the owner, she's an interior designer, and we passed information around, and she let's just say she had less than stellar results from the last photographer. And I said, well, you know, how much did you pay? And I think she paid $100 for like a dozen pictures. So
okay,
I don't know. I told her, yeah, you got to be watching out for that. Anyway, let's go into what do we got today, Brian? What are we doing?
We have an Ask the Guys. It's been a while since we had an Ask the Guys. you know, Rich, you and I have been asking people to submit lately. Well, I think we'd be more like begging people to submit. But we understand.
I like to think of it. I've been shaming people into doing it, and I'm done with it. So
exactly. Yeah. But you know what? It was the holidays, so everyone has an excuse.
Oh, and, that's what it is. Okay.
You know, since we came back from the holidays, we've got a bunch of submissions. So, you know, we're going to start bringing some of those back out to you, and hopefully we can share some of that information.
Right. So what we got.
So without further ado, I will play today's question.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is David Besnett. I live in the Denver area. My site is davidbesnett.com. And you guys were already kind enough to answer one of my questions about insurance, and your answer was awesome. And so I really appreciate it. Anyways, I won't bug you again for a while. But a question that's been on my mind for a while is about vacations. How do you guys deal with vacation time? There's literally no week where I don't have at least one shoot. And this is even during weeks like Thanksgiving and Christmas. So vacations are important, but we don't want to lose clients or have them go to another photographer. Summers are tough. I have family and kids who want to go to the beach. And that's our busiest time. Most of us are one-person shows, so that makes it extra difficult. Anyways, thanks again for the awesome podcast, and I hope I'm not getting greedy by doing a second Ask the Guys question. I really appreciate all of your insights and help. Thanks so much.
David, thank you so much. And no, you cannot wear out your welcome doing Ask the Guys. They're great features, and you're such a person that is perfect on the making the question. So great voice. Right to the point, right in the right amount of time. So I just like to say I'm really glad you did it. And I'm glad you brought up this topic because what works for me and what works for Brian, I don't know what works for Brian, I'm all here, but might not necessarily work for other people. But that's the same thing as in a lot of areas of this game and actually all business in general and photography business. It's, what works for me may not work for you. But what I do is I depend on my competition. Now that may sound really strange, but if you follow me, you've heard me say many times, embrace your competition, your local competition. Now that could be very scary, but sometimes you just got to get over it. And I have several photographers in my local area that we're really not competition. We all coincide together and we all know each other. We've all done things socially together. So it's really almost like friends. And this has been great for me and friend Martin Beebe is taking work when I'm not in town and vice versa. And I have a couple of other photographers that are the same way. And, you know, sometimes I've got work for them. Sometimes they've got work for me. And, you know, it's really goes without saying, too, that, you know, obviously, you make it clear, and I actually say it very forthcoming when I'm getting work from somebody else. I go, don't worry, I won't poach your client. And that may sound, you know, a little weird, and, you know, that's up to you. But for me, I just look at it as when I'm with this client, I absolutely will not mention anything about my work or what I do, and I don't go into anything. I just go, you know, I'm shooting for so-and-so, and I, you know, I don't mind doing it, but I really can't give you my card or anything like that. Same thing when I'm second shooting for a wedding for my friend Lori, and I will be asked many times, can I get your card? And I'm like, no, I can't do that because it's much more important to keep the relationship going between my friends than to try and get a job out of it. So it works really well for me. And I don't know how you would do it because I don't know if you're friends with people, but with other photographers, that would be also, you got to find photographers that are at a level that you'll feel comfortable giving to your clients. And that could be make sure they're good enough to give to your clients. And it also might be, you may not want to suggest that a photographer that is way better than you are to do the work, because I mean, they may end up taking away your work because the agent will go, oh my gosh, that work is so much better. But it's really worked out great for me and the people that I have traded with. So got no problem there. What about you, Brian?
Well, I know you were away a couple of weeks ago in Mexico. Is that essentially what you did, or was it just holiday time anyway, so it wasn't an issue?
I didn't do it because I didn't have anything coming up. And I was only gone for like 10 days. I didn't have anything coming up. And if I did get a request, I've got full telephone and internet down there. So I would say, hold on a second. And I would contact one of my two or three people that I passed work on to, and I'm sure I could get it done, but it just didn't happen to come up. But actually, that's the first time I think in 4 or 5 years that something hasn't come up, and it comes up both ways. I think it's not more than I give more to somebody else than somebody else gives to me. It happens different times, different years.
Yeah, well, it's also that time of year is a little slow anyway, so that's a good time for you to be going away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, I actually don't do that. Not sure why I don't do that, because I do, I am friendly with some other competitors out in this area. But, you know, to be honest, that's more of a recent thing. We've only over the last couple of months become friends. One of my biggest competitors out here. And there's another competitor out here who actually hires me to do drone work for them. So that being said, I'm friendly with one competitor and the other competitor hires me out. So if I ever had that circumstance where I needed it, I could get it covered, but I don't really do that. And I'm not sure why. Essentially, I just kind of, let my clients know or send in a mass email to my clients, 3-4 weeks before, letting them know I'm going to be away and make sure to try to book everything either before or after. And, the week before vacation is always a disaster. Well, I don't want to say this, a good disaster, meaning, 12 to 15 hour days shooting nonstop, getting all the editing out before I go. But I just like to pack it all in as much as I can and get it out there. Partially because, up until probably last summer, I was at a point where I didn't really trust other people to go out and produce the same work that I have. But now, as I mentioned before, I'm over that and I'm at the point where I have to start outsourcing because there's no other choice. So I do outsource in the busy season a lot of my editing. As I mentioned last summer, I sent a lot of it out. I'm not opposed to even now, if I get busy this summer, to even outsourcing some of my shooting out in general, even when I'm here. So that being said, if I get to that point, then yeah, I would have, these same shooters go out while I'm away. And that was part of my initial thinking when I started my company, not to use my own name. Was because I don't want to get pigeonholed to a point where clients are always expecting me no matter what. And it hasn't been an issue yet because I shoot all my stuff. But, I have, a name, not my own personal name, just a name of my business, Twilight Artistry. So theoretically, they're not. If I don't go myself, it's not absurd. I would obviously tell any client before, so-and-so is going to show up and is going to do your photography, but this way they understand they're hiring a company and not a specific person. So when I decided on that business name, I was kind of thinking ahead for the future where down the line, if I would ever come to that, I was already set up for that. As far as, poaching other clients, like you said, I don't think I have to worry about other people doing that. For instance, the company that I actually do all the drone work for, they actually printed up business cards for me with my name on it with their brand. And if, I'm on a job doing drone stuff and a customer asks for a card, I can just hand them a card with the other company's brand on it with my name. So that covers that. So that's essentially what I do. But, I think I'm going to start considering what you're doing, Rich, and speak to other people and see if I can get those shoots covered. The biggest thing I feel like, though, is, as we all know, there's not a ton of money in real estate photography. We're not all walking away with $500, $600, $700, $800 a shoot. So, when you're getting the amount of money we're getting, then we have to pay someone else. There's not much money at the end of the day in it for us. So That's why I try to get as much in as I can on my own beforehand. If it turns out I can't, then I'm willing to go the other route.
Yeah. And I will say that, you have to discuss things like, how much are they going to charge? Got to keep it in the same ballpark. But it's kind of like that anyway with the people I'm thinking about up here in my area. We're all probably similarly priced, so it works well. And it,
yeah, I mean, do you find that when you have to hire someone because you're on vacation, by the time you end up paying them?
I don't pay them.
You just let them book it directly? And
correct. And I actually shoot for several people that have moved out of Sacramento area, but they pay me. But when I do the very few times it happens, I just tell them to work a deal out with the agents. So they're not working for me in any way, shape, or form. They're not even independent contracting. They're just working on their own. So, and it's worked out really well. To my knowledge, maybe it hasn't, and I just don't know it.
Okay. Well, the clients call you back. So hopefully.
Hopefully. Great. Awesome. Well, I think we've covered the topics there. And appreciate the Ask the Guys. What do you think, Brian?
I know. Yeah, for sure. You know, this was a pretty short one, Rich. How about we throw one more question at you?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So let me pull one out of the archives and play it for you now.
Hi, this is Michael Williams with Will Ventures Photography out of Redondo Beach, Southern California. With all the amazing resources available to photographers, including YouTube tutorials, online forums, Facebook groups, and now even the new Shooting Spaces website, I'm curious to hear how one manages their time spent with all these wonderful tools. I find it hard some days to finish the day's work and then make the time to be motivated to connect on social media, read articles, and learn new ideas and techniques. I know how valuable this was when I first started, and also know how important it is to continue as you grow as a photographer. Any thoughts on the topic and how you guys handle this? Much appreciated. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Williams from Will Venture Photography. I think Michael has maybe asked us a question before also. I have to go back and look, but his name sounds really familiar. So if you have Michael asked us a question before, we thank you for submitting again. And we have two repeats today. And if you didn't send this one before, thank you for submitting this. But that is a good question. And, you know, we all know how important it is to educate ourselves, whether it's blogs and podcasts and YouTube videos and Facebook groups. And there's so much out there. I mean, I know, you know, obviously I'm going to go into more detail in a minute, but to sum it up, I just don't sleep much. But that being said, Rich, I mean, you are the moderator for, I think, 88 or 89 groups. So you definitely know better than anyone else what it's like to have all this extra work as far as admining Facebook groups and your YouTube channel and all that. So it's one thing to obviously just read and participate, but you know, you obviously are on the other end of it all also. So how do you manage your time?
Well, that's a great question. And yeah, no, I don't know if I have... Maybe have 12 or 14 groups. And
yeah, I don't know. It's exactly right.
Oh, I know. I know. But I can shoot a house in 3 minutes. So I'm up there with that. You know, first of all, I think it changes the longer you've been doing it, where I'm not as interested now, or I don't spend as much time now. Maybe I should, but I don't, in reading and learning and watching videos on how to get better. I kind of have found my stride and I've been able to work that out, though I am always interested in things. And the things I get personally out of the groups, or it would be really to just get information that helps me. So I have to find the time one way or another to like find a solution to a Wi-Fi issue with a camera or a computer issue or something like that. So
business
I've got
advice.
Yeah, I've got people I can call. I've got some great resources. I know certain groups that really get to the answers really great for me. And that kind of helps me moderate my groups because I don't want to have them just ramble on. I like to have them cut right to the chase. I haven't even made last thing I wanted to do is I made two groups yesterday. I made a group for a new photography club in Mexico, in Baja, where I've recently bought a house. So that's going to be a new venture. And then I also did, for people that are thinking of moving to Sony from Canon and Nikon and moving to mirrorless. So I read a read a question and I thought that that would be a really interesting group. And it turns out it seems like it's going to be a good one.
And but you figured you didn't have enough groups.
Absolutely, man. I need like 88. So anyway, but I guess what I'm saying is there's always enough time to do what you got to do. And I've been doing Instagram, and that has actually been worthwhile because, for me, everything's almost kind of worthwhile because I have a different situation than a lot of people. I get a lot of benefit from my YouTube channel. And honestly, I haven't been doing nearly as many YouTube posts as I used to do last year or the year before. But I'm doing okay, and I answer all my questions. So that takes up a lot of time. I get probably 100 questions a week, comments a week on my YouTube channel. So I have to answer each one of those. But I get to interject with my workshops and, you know, selling workshop space. I get to interject with selling information, you know, telling people about the podcasts, telling people about my coaching, things like that. So it's all kind of wrapped up. So for me, it's a little bit different. But I think for you, it's really you've just got to find your stride and see what resources are helping you. Are videos like Mike Kelly's video or Scott Hargis' video, are they going to be the ones that are helping you, or Nathan Kuhl's books, you know, things like that, spending time there or spending time in the groups, a specific group that might be with a group of people you've really latched on and learned from. It could also be reading books. You know, we've talked about what was the book we just talked about? We haven't released the podcast, but there was a book that one of our guests had mentioned. And I think that, you know, there's some great resources. So, you know, you got to find your time. And you also, that's one reason to get better and faster at shooting, as I always say, because you got to spend time with your family. You got to spend time doing the things you want to do and spending time learning and improving your skills and your database and your bag of tricks. And that's just something you're going to have to figure out. So I don't really have I don't think there is an answer for you there, but I'm sure you'll find it and get the, you know, you'll weed out the things that don't help you as much and embrace the things that do help you a lot. And even the podcast here, you know, obviously you're listening to it. Hopefully it's a valuable and you value the time spent doing this because you get not only hopefully a little bit of enjoyment out of it, but maybe you learn something and maybe that can transfer into more time with your family or more money or something like that.
So. Sure. Well, one thing we have going for us, Rich, is that most of our listeners, I think, or have told us that they listen to the podcast in the car on their way to shoots. So that's definitely advantage over podcasts versus reading Facebook posts or watching YouTube videos or reading books or watching tutorials, is that it's more just audio driven. And you can listen while you're shooting or while you're in the car.
It's a great thing. I really believe in that.
But that being said, I think there's two different things that you mentioned, Rich. There's, you know, the reading books and the tutorials is one thing. And then there's kind of, you know, Facebook and Instagram and that type of research as another thing. Because a tutorial, you know, like Mike or Scott that you mentioned, those are the type of things where, you know, you spend whatever it is, 10 or 15 hours watching that tutorial, and you typically don't pick that back up unless, you know, a couple months later, you want to rewatch some things, but it's more of a one-time thing. You know, going to the groups and researching there and reading up about everything, that's kind of a daily activity. Posting to Instagram, as you said, that's a daily activity where that's taking up a lot of more of your daily grind than the tutorials. If you learn a new tutorial, obviously you're going to put in the time to start and finish it. But, you know, checking up on Facebook and all that stuff, like you said, me right now, I'm not really watching, you know, videos and tutorials on how to get better unless a really remarkable tutorial comes out. Maybe I'll purchase it. But again, that's 5, 10, 15 hours of my time, which I watch over the course of a couple of weeks, and then I'm done with it. It's more so, you know, the Instagram stuff I'm posting daily. So that, you know, that takes up some time, but it's not an overly long amount of time when you're posting an image. You spend 5 minutes posting an image, not even. You know, and then throughout the day, if you want to do stories and stuff like that, you know, the Facebook is always good to browse through. And I know you said, Rich, that you don't try to learn a lot of technique and stuff too, because you're comfortable in the way you're shooting. But, you know, I think when you're looking through Facebook groups and you see other people's images that they're posting, to me, that inspires me to either get better or to obviously not do things that I don't like. So I think you're always learning by looking at other people's images. And that's the biggest thing I take out of the Facebook groups. Yeah, there are things, as you said, where people will post questions, you know, how to get your Sony Wi-Fi extender working, or someone has a specific business question that they come up with. It's always good to, you know, read those comments, because if that situation ever happens to me, I want to be able to know how to handle it right then and there, and avoid that couple hours where then I might have to go and post that question and wait for people to give me suggestions. So stuff like that. But seeing people's pictures, you know, which is why I love Instagram so much, seeing people's work is what motivates me to try and get better and to learn new techniques and, you know, put comments on images I love and say, how did you do that? Or, you know, did you light it this way? Or, and the same thing on Facebook. So, yeah, you got to devote time to it. Unfortunately, which is the crazy part about this thing, is, you know, we need it, just, you know, to get better at what we're doing. But yeah, you know, you finish a whole day of work. A lot of times, you know, if I'm sitting down on my couch, I'm watching TV, you know, I'll scroll through Facebook on my phone, until my wife yells at me, or, you know, before bed, I'll check stuff. But yeah, it's hard to make time. But what you said, Rich, I think is key, is as you start doing it daily, it becomes part of your daily ritual. And it's not, you know, it's not so much making the time, but it's just part of your daily grind. But I think people should look at Facebook and Instagram as almost part of their marketing. I mean, I don't really go on Facebook for anything personal, to be honest. I don't look at any of my, like, you know, childhood friends' pictures, any of that stuff. I never do any of that stuff. The only time I'm ever on Facebook is in groups. So that's pretty much all I use it for. And Instagram, for me, it's just to look at other colleagues' work and use it as inspiration to get better. So for me, for social media, it's pretty much all with a business mentality. I don't know if it's the same for you, Rich. Very, very infrequently will I post something, you know, about the family or about, you know, what's going on. Not for any other reason, where I just don't use the platform for that.
Yeah.
You know, from a business perspective, I think you should look at it as part of your daily learning and call it marketing if you want, you know, learning more about ways to build your business, about ways to improve your photography, and, you know, make it a part of it. But I mean, don't spend 6 hours a day on Instagram and Facebook, because you're going to drive yourself crazy and you're not going to really improve in your photography if you're not out shooting. But yeah, devote a half hour, an hour to just breeze through the groups and, you know, see what's out there.
And for me, I think the bottom line is it morphs. You know, you're where you're spending your time changes. And when I started, you know, and I was going through Scott Hargis's video, and I was figuring out photography. I was figuring out camera and settings and lights. It's like when you're a wedding photographer, you start out, you're not shooting people. You're shooting equipment and you're trying to get everything in focus, exposed properly, and this and that. And it's not until you get everything down that you can really start connecting with your subject. And it's the same way with people or with real estate or design. And for me right now, I guess what I'm going into now is starting to identify the people's work that I admire. And we have we've had guests on that their work is just where I want to be. And I'm looking at what they're doing. And I guess I'm learning as much that way as I've always been learning, with learning about camera and settings and tips and tricks, things like that. I think that that's a really, really important thing. And I find that everybody in the groups, or a lot of people in the groups, well, we love talking about gear, you know, gear acquisition syndrome. But I think I want to remind people to remember, as you're doing the gear, then also start working on your compositions, understanding things, and kind of getting more of a finite understanding, breaking down the generalizations to find out how are they doing little parts of things. So it's all just a, you know, I don't think any of us will ever get to the point where we think we know everything and have no desire to keep learning. So I know me personally, I'm learning all the time. I go through spurts sometimes, I go through slow periods, but right now I'm in a super, super good place where I'm learning a lot. I'm very motivated. The Instagram's really helping me too, because I am following people now. Not only photographers, but I'm following designers and stagers that I'm starting to look at their images, and I'm starting to put it in my mind, and I'm having a different way of looking. Even when I'm shooting real estate, I'm looking at things differently. So it's a
never-ending thing. That's the biggest thing I take. Excuse me. That's the biggest thing I take about out of looking at other people's work on Instagram and Facebook is composition. You know, just looking at how other people compose, because everyone sees things differently. And I experienced that the most firsthand last week when I was doing that shoot with Jordan. And, you know, we did a shoot and we did two shoots together. Besides the penthouse I was talking about earlier, we did a small shoot for an interior designer, and we had two bathrooms to shoot, and they were both small spaces. And it was really unbelievable to see how two different photographers just came up with completely different compositions of the same, probably it was 40 or 50 square foot bathroom, tiny little bathroom, and we both came up with different compositions. So it's great to see other people's work and get ideas for compositions, and it's just helped me improve everything so much. And it also helps you get, when you're getting into interior design and architectural photography, it helps you get out of that you know, wide angle shoot from the quarter mentality that you have when you're shooting real estate. Just looking at other designers' work and seeing how, you know, the closer stuff, shooting with a 50 millimeter lens, looks beautiful when you're doing designer work.
It's funny too. If you look at my Instagram feed now, and I've actually had some people commenting that the shot just doesn't look wide enough. What I've basically been doing, because I don't have hundreds and hundreds of designer shoots to pick from. So what I do is I go through my Dropbox and I pick out really nice real estate photos, but I basically take all of these photos and I'm cropping them like 30, 40, 50%. And I might take a lot of shots I'm taking that are horizontal or landscape orientation, and I crop them to be vertical, and it gives a whole nother look. And that's been really important to me, and helping me to understand that I can see things differently in real estate. So I might have to get it wide for the real estate agent, but I can also get a detail shot and pull in. As Wayne Capilli always says, that you can set it up, and Scott Hargis also does this. You do the wide shot, and then you light farm, or you keep going in the same direction, but you can punch in with Scott Hargis will take a 70 to 200 when it's already lit, and he will just take the same camera angle, but he will punch in with a 7200 and drop the aperture down to 2.8 and get a completely different look. Really, really easy to do.
That's actually a very, I don't know why I never thought of that. It's pretty simple. Just taking a horizontal shoot and cropping it vertically, and you get a whole different perspective.
Oh, if you just, I'm not trying to get people to go to my Instagram, which is Rich Pound Photography Instagram, but it is really, if you can see that every one of my images, I mean, 90% of the images on my Instagram were real estate shots, but if you saw the original real estate shot, the composition, it's not nearly the same thing. I'm literally cropping out 30, 40, 50% of the image and turning it into what I would consider a more of a design image. And it's tough sometimes because it's not quite the same thing. It's like doing a fake tilt shift. It works, but it's not quite the same thing. So,
all right. Well, you know what? You inspired me, Rich. And tonight on my Instagram post, I will take a horizontal image, crop it vertically, and see what I come up with.
I'll tell you, just for a minute, here's what I've been doing. I keep all my images for the last 3-4 years. I mean, almost since almost the beginning. I have everything, I deliver everything in Dropbox. So I just go into an old shoot And I can even use the MLS images, the size, you know, maybe like 1800 pixels on the long end. And what I do is I hold down the image in Dropbox on my phone and it brings it and I save it to my phone in the pictures of my phone. Then I go and I will then go into, let's say I downloaded 15 images that I think are potentially Instagram worthy. And then I go to each one and I go in my iPhone and I go to photo and I go to edit and then I go crop and I just crop the image and I see if I can make it into something that is worthwhile or looks good. And then I save it to another group, another page called in my phone called Instagram photos. And that's where I draw them from for Instagram. And it's a pretty fast process. And I recommend anybody try it. That's an easy way to pull up pictures that you can post.
And you do it all on your phone. That's pretty neat.
I do it all on my phone. And I, some days I'm doing 5 photos. I'm going through, 20 images a week or more. So, I've got to take a real estate shoot. I might get 3, 4, 5 shots that are potentials and crop them and make them look, just make them look like design shots because that's what I'm going for in my Instagram, not for real estate, but for design photography.
All right. You inspired me. I'm going to do it tonight.
All right.
All listeners, when this releases, go back a couple of days on my Instagram and see if you can spot the horizontal shot that I made vertical. So
sounds good. I may do a YouTube video for my YouTube channel if I ever get the time to do it because I have 32 groups,
Of course, 88. All right, Rich. Well, I'm glad we got 2 of them in today. It's been a while, and the first one was really short, and then the second one we just kind of went off on a tangent.
But that's cool.
Nevertheless, it's all good. So thank you for the question, Michael. We appreciate it. Uh-huh. And for the earlier question, David. Uh-huh. And again, everyone, submit your questions via Ask the Guys. We still have a bunch more, but we have a ton of incredible interviews already recorded that are going to be released over the next couple of weeks. And already we have a couple of scheduled recordings that are going to come up. So we have some big things in the works as far as the podcast over the next couple of weeks for as far as episode releases. So we're pretty excited, but we definitely need some Ask the Guys to help fill in some of these slower weeks.
Yeah. And be sure to check out shootingspaces.net, our blog. That's coming along really well. And we have some really exciting interviews coming up on Shooting Spaces podcast. So we're keeping it going. We're going to, we're going into our second year and we have not slowed down. We've actually gotten busier and kind of getting our stride going and really enjoying it. And it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. And I'm really glad we could get a subscribership out there because it means a lot to me and I'm sure it means a lot to you too.
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like we both said plenty of times, a year ago this time we had no idea where this would take us and we're doing really well with it. So we thank all of you for listening.
Mm-hmm. And just to be sure to just take all those resources that we mentioned and there's so many more and just what a wonderful period in life where you can just get so much, you're losing part of it because you're spending it on the internet and on your phone, but you're gaining so much and it's really a wonderful opportunity. So learn out there and just be sure, get out there and shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to this show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.